greetings, everyone, and thank you once again for stopping by live with the Infidel Guy. Of course, I'm your host, Reginald Finley. Thank you for joining us. You can check out our parent website at atheistnetwork.com, and you can check me out on the web at infidelguy.com. Well, we have a special guest this evening. We have John Henderson. He's the author of a book called God.com, A Deity for a New Millennium, which discusses the harmful effects of religion and the illogical beliefs of an all-powerful, all-knowing God. He's also working on another book entitled Fear, Faith, Fact, Fantasy. This should be an interesting show. Welcome to the show, John Henderson.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So tell us about your book here, God.com. What is that all about?
Well, it's just what you mentioned, that it's a book about the harmful effects of religion.
Okay.
Most people are afraid to criticize anybody's religion, let alone their own.
Right.
And most are afraid to criticize anybody's God, let alone their own.
That's right.
I think with the world and with the situation it's in today, we need to take a little better look at religion and the various gods that are out there and be a little more, show a little more logic to what we talk about and what we think about. I think every person that belongs to a specific religious group has a responsibility of criticizing their own religious group. It's
That's
very
right.
difficult for a Christian to criticize a Muslim, for example, or a Muslim or a Jew to criticize a Christian. But we need to criticize our own religious group when it's obviously doing things which are harmful and are intolerant characteristics and behavior.
That's right. But of course, I mean, they won't do that. I mean, you know, they don't criticize their own beliefs. I mean, you know, so
one of the big problems, of course, with religion is that if anyone criticizes their belief, they're kicked out of the church. They're not allowed to criticize. So that does make it very difficult for the average person to criticize publicly the harmful effects of their own religious group. But I think it has to be done, and it should be done, and it doesn't need to be done by people who consider themselves atheists. It should be done by people who are active in their church, because it's very important, I think, for the sake of the world, to cut down on the harmful effects of religion.
I mean, but how does one go about doing that? You see, I mean, how I don't see. What is the plan here? How are they going to... Well, I guess we kind of see a little bit of that today. As you know, various faiths around the world, you have your fundamentalists, and then you also have your liberal faction. So, you know, and they simply criticize each other, but, you know, the fundamentalism remains. You know, it's like if someone from the inside tries to speak up about the problems or the difficulties they see with their belief, they get ostracized. I've seen that in my message board plenty of times. You have Christians that come in over time, they begin to learn things, and they start to change their mindset that they were once in, and they start to talk to other Christians about this, and they get ostracized.
That's exactly right, which is regrettable. But on the other hand, for example, we had a situation where the local Baptist church recently at Halloween, they didn't light the haunted houses of for the children. They had their own haunted house, and they showed the harm. They showed what happened to children who didn't believe in Jesus, and it had very specific details and pictures of Dante's hell. Now,
right.
Other Christian groups criticize that, and I think rightly so. As basically, it's child abuse to make a child believe that they're going to hell, and it's Dante's type hell with an eternity for not doing what their local minister says. That is child abuse. But I did see and noted that a number of other Christian groups and a number even of Baptists who disagreed with that approach and criticized the church for it. And that's the type of thing I think that we need to see more of, where a church or a group will criticize the harmful effects that they see in their own religion and in their own beliefs.
Right.
I think it can be done by others than just people who might be willing to call themselves atheists.
Right. Well, you know, I think we also have an identity problem. As you know, many religions have, you know, they have such a long history and such a long history of ritualism in which they feel that the particular ritualisms that may happen to harm others is simply part of their religious belief. So they can no longer identify with their belief system if they were to become more, quote, liberal. And I think that's dangerous to them. I think they find that scary, that if they start changing their minds or seeing things in a different light about their faith, that they can no longer claim they are of that faith. And they're so afraid to make such a statement that they would rather continue to live or participate in a belief system, even though it may harm others.
You're exactly right. And that's the reason people shop around and go from one church
that's
to
right.
another until they find a group
right.
that believes or tends to believe what they want to believe. And that's the reason so many people drop out of the church as they become a little more mature and they become a little more logical and they ask themselves logical questions about how God could sit up there with all that power that he's got and then still allow hurricanes and tornadoes and floods to inflict upon humans. They begin to ask themselves certain questions, and at that point they may very well shop around for a church or a group who tends to believe what they believe.
That's right. I've noticed that too, and people tend to gravitate towards churches where they feel, you know, as you say, you're more comfortable, where they, and sometimes they deny this, but I mean, if you feel comfortable being in a congregation in which the pastor spews hellfire, I mean, you'll go. Oddly enough, some people are comfortable with that idea, and you know, but they deny it. They think it's just the truth that they're hearing. But I think it's really their choice. They decided, they chose it. And what is the reason why they chose it? I think it's because they feel comfortable in that setting. And regardless of how true you think something is, if it really, really made you uncomfortable, and you see this with a lot of religions, I'm sure, you know, they're not going to continue to follow that religion if it's in any way, if they perceive it as being harmful to them.
Well, I think that's exactly right, and that's somebody once said that every new religion, every new sect is started by someone who was unhappy with the previous one.
That's right.
And that goes back to Martin Luther and starting the Protestant movement when they got away from the Catholic Church.
Wow.
Every new religious group is started by someone who was unhappy with their previous one.
That's a good way to look at it. You can look, I guess, if you look at it collectively too, because, you know, as you know, individuals form these religious beliefs. So I guess if you go back, as far as you go back in time, you can just see how these religious beliefs just changed hands, you know, verbally through verbal stories and whatnot. And you're right. So in other words, if that's the way it works with the individual, of course it works that way with cultures at large. And basically, all religions have spawned from earlier religions, but they don't believe it. That they don't really see it that way. A lot of religions somehow perceive as their religion as just here it is, it's the truth, that's it. And they don't want to look deeper and realize that their belief actually comes from other belief systems that they don't even believe in.
I think, in addition, that's not only true in the past; that's true today. Just when the Anglican homosexual bishop was consecrated, there were a number of churches that pulled out.
Right.
That group, and have started their own group.
Really? Already, huh?
Yes, and yeah. Well, look at the Baptists, the Southern Baptists and the Northern Baptists, and look at the difficulty between the conservative
right.
Baptists and the fundamentalist Baptists.
That's true. That's right. I know, like, you have one group doesn't believe women should, like, preach in a pulpit. I mean, preach, and, like, another group thinks it's okay. You're right. There's all these different schisms involved.
And that's still going on today. In fact, somebody once, recently, I read where there were 9,900 religions in the world today. That's practicing religions.
Wow.
Now, if you look at 9,900 religions, that must mean, and it proves, that there are 9,900 different gods out there.
That's right. That's right. Different. You're right, because if the individual has a different perception of that God, then you're right. That God at that point is definitely a different entity than perceived by someone else. Definitely. It's funny. That's a very conservative number. You said 9,900?
Right.
You know, I've heard as much as 10,000 Christian sects.
Yeah. Well, this particular finding, they said that more were being created every day. So I think they said something like 3 or 4 new religions were cropping up every day. So you could very well be right. Sometimes it's hard to know what's a religion and
right.
what's a cult. I've noticed that called a religion if a lot of people believe in it, but it's a cult if it's a very small group.
Right.
And when that cult grows to a significant size, then it becomes a religion.
Exactly. You know, I once heard, a religion is a religion that is recognized by the state, and a cult is simply not. So, you know, it's like, you know, for a long time, it took a long time now for the federal government to recognize Satanism as an official religion. But they do now. But they didn't at first. But first, they were just a cult.
Yeah, well, it's like, I was thinking of the Wiccans, too.
That's right.
If they get enough Wiccans that believe in what they're preaching, it'll be called a religion, and we'll get all the advantages of a religion with their tax exemption and
right.
the other advantages that our government has granted to religious groups.
Well, what do you think about atheism? Do you think that atheists or that atheism should be considered a religion?
No, I don't think atheism should be considered a religion.
Okay.
Neither do I think humanism should be considered
really?
A religion.
Interesting.
I have noticed that almost everyone who talks about religion and who talks about God, they almost never define God.
That's right. Of course.
I think before you talk about God, you have to define it. For example, if you believe that God is love,
right.
or God is spirituality,
mm-hmm.
or God is kindness, or God is charity, or what, then it's hard to argue with that concept. But when you specifically tie down people who are talking about God, and you say, okay, what do you really believe God is doing today, and what he is thinking, what he wants you to do, those people then, they vary so much and so greatly.
That is
now,
so
getting
true.
Back to your question about atheists and atheism, the problem I have with the word atheist is that it is not socially acceptable, and if I'm talking with other non-believers or agnostics or Gnostics or even Unitarians, then I don't mind being called an atheist.
Right.
On the other hand, if I'm talking to a redneck, I resent him being called me an atheist because he doesn't know what an atheist is. As far as he is concerned, an atheist is a no-good, killing, raping, immoral person.
Right.
And I don't consider myself
right.
that category,
yeah.
And I think most of the atheists that I know are not in that category either.
That's a very good point. You're right. I know I've had so many theists, you know, act like they're somehow, like they're kind and gentle,
right.
but you can hear it in the way they're saying things, like, you know, you atheists, like, hello, you know,
exactly.
they're meaning that as a derogatory term, even as far as saying, you know, I'll pray for you.
I have more people praying for me than anybody in town.
Right, they know good and well that you don't believe that their prayers are going to work, and then they say, "I'll pray for you" in a very offensive tone. Yet they say, "What? I just said I'll pray for you," but the really sad part is that at least 95% of these Christians that claim they're going to pray for you don't.
Yeah, that's right. They don't think it's going to do any good either.
Right. Right. I asked them, so what do you think prayer is going to do? And they say, oh, well, it's going to make you, you know, I don't know, it's going to make God will you to know him. So you're ordering God around? Well, no, I'm just hoping that God's will, so why are you praying? I mean, God's going to do his will, so what are you trying to make him do to me? You know, it doesn't make sense. I never could, I still don't, until this day, understand the whole prayer thing anyway. I don't get it.
Well, it's just a wish thrown up in the sky.
A wish thrown up in the sky. I have to quote you on that one. I like that one.
On the other hand, when the definition of the word atheist is the way it is amongst common people, we certainly need flaming atheists to be out there ahead of us and making way for us. On the other hand, if you're saying that I'm a physician, I was in the practice of medicine, and I had a number of patients before they went into surgery would say, are you a Christian?
Right.
Now, how is somebody who wants to ease somebody's tension, how you're going to answer that.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's a good point. You're right. It could actually add more misery to the individual.
Exactly.
Wow. I never thought of it that way.
And, in fact, I scrubbed with another surgeon, and he agrees with me 100%. And has read my book and bought a bunch of them, in fact.
Right.
And he said, you know, I'm a hypocrite. We were just going into surgery on this patient. And he said, she looked at me and said, are you a Christian?
Wow.
And I said, no, you're not being a hypocrite. That's just a little white lie to make that individual feel better. Because with their idea of the definition of a Christian is somebody who is kind, charitable,
right,
and moral, mm-hmm, and got God on their side.
Yeah, I get mistaken for being a Christian quite often. And I still don't know why, but...
So you're straight and narrow. Well, because probably you're kind and charitable and a worthwhile,
right,
moral citizen.
And that's a damn shame that they have to make that synonymous with Christianity.
Exactly.
It's a damn shame. So how long were you in medicine, John?
Well, I spent a career in the Air Force as a medical officer, and then I retired at a very young age. I was 50. And then came into Asheville and practiced general surgery here until about 10 years ago when I closed my office and am now only assisting other surgeons.
Okay.
I don't play golf and we don't have a big garden anymore. So writing and assisting surgery. I'm also one of the county medical examiners.
Okay.
So I get involved with a number of civic things, which keeps me happy and keeps me busy.
Now, here's a big question that I'm sure a lot of us may be curious about, because, you know, it's amazing how many nurses I come across who claim that on their death, or like when they see patients on their deathbed, and even if they're atheists or whoever they claim to be, they ask God for help. How often... In your experience, did you really see someone as they're about to expire call out to God? Did they really call out to God, or were they calling out to something else?
That hasn't been often in my experience. I think what you see is people who are always trying to convince themselves and others that there is a God.
Right.
So any time that they can tell a story or make Jefferson look like he was a Christian or Abraham Lincoln look like they are Christians, they like to point that out, when in reality, most of us, when we get into a difficult situation, we become fatalists more than we become Christians or anything else. What you say is, well, I've done everything possible I can do. If that bullet has my name on it, so be it.
That's right. And whatever happens, happens. That's right.
People may very well call upon God,
right?
But that doesn't tell us what kind of God is out
there
and what God is doing. In fact, I have a chapter in my book that I mentioned what we ought to have some headlines for those who see God's handiwork in their daily lives. There should be newspapers to announce God's activities. For example, the headline should read, "Airplane crash. God kills 185.
That's right.
Here's 18. Saves 6.
Wow.
Now, which was that, God or Satan that's doing that? Thanksgiving headlines should read, "God feeds millions of overweight Americans and starves millions of undernourished third world inhabitants."
Right.
Then going back in history, let's say the Jerusalem Daily should have exclaimed in 32 A.D., "God allows his beloved son to be crucified to prove to the public how merciful and loving he is."
Wow.
Now, can anybody imagine how any father would kill their son to prove that they were kind and merciful?
Wow.
It just doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. Yeah, they pay attention to the positives and they forget the negatives.
Exactly.
And then they claim that we are, as you mentioned, fatalists because we at least acknowledge the negative aspects of religion, and things that happen in life and not just glorify the positive. And that's what they do. You're right. You're right. It could be a plane crash. You're right. All 300 people on the jumbo jet plane could die.
Except one. That one gets a headline and says, "Oh, God, save me."
Exactly. In fact, it's funny. This is not funny. It's sad. There was a U.S. soldier. Oh, one of the soldiers that survived that Chinook crash. That was shot down. Uh-huh. There was a soldier on the news a couple of days ago who said he said he heard a loud noise and the whole craft jarred, and he said the next thing you know he knew that the craft was hit and it was going down. He said there was smoke and fire and people were yelling, and he said he just bowed his head and prayed, and he survived.
That proves to him that God saved him.
Exactly. Yet, his eyes were so busy closed praying, did he bother to look to his left and right? Maybe other soldiers were praying too, right next to him. They didn't survive. But he doesn't know that, and he doesn't even probably care.
And nobody even questions him or says, "Well, what did God think of those other guys that didn't make it?"
Exactly.
I had a very interesting situation at a book signing here in town one time. Fella came over and he said, "What's your book about?" And I said, "Well, it's about the harmful effects of religion and the illogical beliefs in an all-knowing, all-powerful, supernatural being." He said, "Well, I wouldn't be interested in it. I'm a Methodist lay preacher, and I've had a heart transplant."
Oh, great, yeah.
"And I know God pulled me through." And so I asked him, I said, "Well, don't you think the medical profession had something to do with it?"
Right.
And then I asked him, "Well, I hope you're thankful about God killing off whoever the donor was that you got the heart from."
Oh, wow. That's right.
But they don't have any logic
involved
in their thinking at all. And that always is frustrating.
You know, that is Yeah.
That always frustrates me that people won't even think logically about their beliefs.
Right.
They're afraid to.
Yeah, you know, that's a good way to turn that around. I never thought about that. You know, for the listeners, don't forget that. I mean, that's a really interesting quote there, idea. Yeah, to tell them, you know, next time someone brags about, you know, them getting a transplant and surviving, and you're right, it's very rare that they think the doctors. But yeah, tell them. So, did you thank God for killing the person that gave you that heart or that liver or that?
That was mighty wide of him. But I think if you look at what happens to people and what's happening in our world, you'll find that you can't make a differentiation between what Satan is doing
and
what God is doing.
Even in the Bible, you can't make any such distinction.
You can't. So
that's
if you can't tell the difference, there may be, maybe there's not much difference out there.
That's right. It's funny. I keep telling people all the time, and I tell them, if they argue that, well, there is, I ask them, well, how do you know? Because, in simplistic terms, my statement has always been, one man's benefit is another man's misfortune, or various different ways, and that's pretty much true. Right? Yeah, I find $20 bill on the ground. I go, "Hallelujah, thank you, praise God."
Yeah, right.
And the person that lost it is going, "I need that $20. I need to pay my rent. I need that last $20, so I'm going to be on the street." You know, no one thinks of it like that. And the same thing with this war in Iraq. You know, it's the same thing. You have the Christians saying, I'm not saying the Christians, but I knew personally many Christians would say, you know, "We're going to get them. We're going to get revenge. God is on our side. We're going to straighten this out." And I'm like, wait a minute, but wasn't God on their side to allow them? I mean, do you think that the Islamic terrorists predicted that both of those buildings would fall and that many people would die? There's no way in their wildest dreams that was going to happen.
That's right.
Allah must have been on their side, but they don't see it that way.
Well, and now we notice God is on George W. Bush's side and was on Saddam Hussein's side. Both they both claim God on their side.
That's right. That's right. And that's all. You know, who's God? Oh, I was about to say something.
If God is going to be on somebody's side in a war, he ought to come out a little sooner before so many people are killed.
That's right. That's right.
Need to be on Hitler's side and Germany's side for a good long while before he decided to come along with our side.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad he couldn't do that before the millions of kids were killed.
Right. And they always talk about there must be a reason behind this, or God is angry at us. And you have the pastors on television talking about how angry how God is at the U.S., and that's why this happened. But there are other countries out there who are more anti-Christian than, or you know, or a Christian than we are. I should say not anti-Christian, but a Christian, like the Netherlands, for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, they have many more laws that many Christians here would find totally reprehensible. You would think God should be blowing them up. I mean, not punishing us. But, so what's going on here? China, one of the most atheistic countries, they have less crime. What does that mean? Japan, a very atheistic type country, also less crime, less murders. What does this mean, people? It's like, wake up. It doesn't make sense.
Well, somebody once said that religion has never civilized man, but man must try to civilize religion.
Mm.
That's what I'm doing with my writing. I'm trying to point out the harmful effects of religion. Now, in the next book, I have pointed out some of the good things that religion does.
Okay.
Just say it's all bad.
That's right.
There are some good things that religions do.
Indeed.
But I think that whenever people say God works in mysterious ways, you know that they're making excuses.
Of course.
For a God that doesn't even come up to human standards.
That's right.
Of morality.
Indeed. I never could figure that out either, John. You know, they'll say, well, you don't challenge God. Don't question God. His ways are far beyond ours. And I'm thinking, then how are you able to make such discernments that what God is doing is good?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know? I mean, maybe it's for evil purpose. They just assume everything is just for some good purpose, and they really don't know. If I can't make the statement that what God has done is evil, then you know, they can't make the statement that what God has done is good if he's beyond our comprehension.
I agree. How anybody can comprehend that God would wipe out the whole world and save Noah and his family. Surely not everybody in the world was sinning and didn't meet with God's requirement, but he wiped out everybody. And according
right.
to Pat Robertson and Jimmy Swaggart and the rest of those of that ilk, he's going to kill us all in the end.
That's right.
Man, I guess he's still mad at us. And yet, here's man just the way it created man.
Right. For those of you just joining, you can call toll-free 888-503-0802. We are live talking to John Henderson. And you're a retired medical doctor, right? Or
well, I'm semi-retired. I'm a half-assed general surgeon.
Okay, that's right. You assist now, right? Okay.
I do want to get in where they can get my book, where they can order it. Now, the problem with God.com is that the big boys, the large book corporations, do not stock it in their warehouse, and therefore they won't order it. But it can be obtained on Amazon.com. It can be ordered by the independent bookstores, and it can be ordered from the publishing company. And I'd like to give that number.
Go ahead.
It's 1-800-788-7654. Or if they would drop me a note either by email, my email is jrh828@webtv.net, or drop me a line at 117 Rathfarnham Circle, Asheville, North Carolina, 28803. I'll send them an autographed copy for $10 plus $2 shipping and handling.
All right, no problem. We'll let you go ahead and do that toward the end of the show as well, so don't worry about it.
That's my plug.
All right, no problem. We have a caller that just called in. You're live with the Infidel Guy. And John, go ahead.
Yes, this is Godless Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
And I was just listening to your program, and I really enjoyed the way that person put your guest, I guess, put that thanking God for the other things too.
Yeah, that was cool.
You know, like we have those big fires out here, and I saw in the paper after the fires finally went out that people were out there praying and all this sort of thing. What happened 5 days ago?
Right.
You know, so I really enjoy your program, and keep up the good work, and I'm going to just go ahead and listen to the rest of it, but I thought I'd let you know there's a lot of us out here that really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, Godless Bob. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I think that fire is a good example.
Yes, it is.
Those whose house happened to escape the fire are going to thank God, and the others are not even going to question them. where was God when my house was on fire?
Exactly. Must have a reason for it.
That's not politically correct to question anything that supposedly God is controlling.
Right, right. You know, and then, of course, and you have to ask. I mean, I don't understand why, but the church shuns one asking, you know, what did I do? Oh, don't ask what you did. Maybe the Lord has a, you know, purpose or whatever. You should ask. Wait a minute. God, what the hell did I do?
Exactly.
You know, why are you, you know, why did you give, you know, why did you let me give birth to a child with no legs? Why did you allow my daughter to be decapitated in a car accident? You know, all the most horrific things that are happening all over the world. And even though, you know, many, as you know, apologists state that the problem of evil has been solved, it really has not. You know, they keep saying, oh, in philosophical circles, the argument about from evil isn't even relevant anymore. I think it still is.
I think evil is definitely relevant. I think, though, you should ask why God created Lucifer and then let him get loose as Satan
right.
to wreak havoc
right.
on the human race.
Yeah.
God should have zapped him at the very beginning.
Exactly. But, you know, say,
God
well...
should do it right now. If Satan's out there working on you and working on me, we need some help.
That's right. That's
God
right.
God created Satan and created him with more power than he gave you and me.
That's right. You know, most assuredly, you know, it depends on what camp you're coming from. You know, on this show, we have a variety of different people, John. We've had some... you probably heard of the individuals who... Oh, open theists on the show. They believe... that God does not have free will. I mean, I'm sorry, that he is not omniscient, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's that way they think they somehow have solved the dilemma of the reason why God doesn't interfere. You know, he purposely, when it comes to man, he decides, hey, all bets are off, you know, I'm going to leave you guys alone, I'm not going to interfere, you guys do it, and whatever happens, happens. But they seem to miss the point that if God has a plan, that means... more than likely, his plan is going to end the way he wants it. I mean, he's God, he's all powerful, and the book itself, the Bible, talks about how things are going to end a certain way. So the only way God can guarantee that his plan ends exactly the way he wants it to end is to know what mankind is going to do. I just don't get that. If they claim that God is not omniscient, then God has no direct control over human affairs. Somehow, human beings can mess up God's plan. And they don't see that, but I don't know if you've encountered those, but it's amazing. There's so many variety of different theists coming up now to get away from these problems that we're discussing.
Yeah, that is one of the problems that some of us have, is we can't stop thinking, and we can't stop reasoning, and we can't stop logic.
That's right.
Now, I think the deists get by with it, because what the deists say is that God created the universe and God created man and everything else.
Right.
And then he's on leave now. He's not doing anything. What
That's
he
right.
said is that, guys, you're on your own now. I created
right.
you. You're on your own. But if you were a deist
mm-hmm.
and believe that, then prayer is absolutely worthless.
That's right.
We're on our own.
That's true.
and so I think that's one way that some of the people who are trying to throw a little logic at their beliefs can still believe in God and say, well, he created us, but now we're all on our own now. We have free will, and it's up to us.
Yeah.
But that doesn't explain yet why God created evil.
No, not at all.
And God did create evil in every belief that I know of.
That's right. That's true. For those of you just joining, you're listening to John Henderson, and you're listening to Live with the Infidel Guy, and we're talking about his book, God.com, A Deity for a New Millennium. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. We're kind of going on an interesting little rant here, and it's really fun.
Most of these things that we're talking about are in the book in one way or another.
Okay, interesting. That's awesome. All right, let's take this next caller. You are live with the Infidel Guy. Go ahead.
Hey, Reggie, what's up? This is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Religion inadvertently causes a lot of bigotry, and I've experienced that myself recently. I use my vehicle at work, and it does have your bumper sticker and the Atheist Network bumper sticker on it. Well, apparently somebody pulled up behind it, and they had a kid with them. Well, the rational person would tell their kid, well, we don't believe that.
Right.
But
some people
they
do.
Have a right in America to believe what they want.
That's right.
this idiot calls up my job and tries to get me in trouble for that.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. Now, what kind of country do we live in where it's okay to put a cross on your car or a religious station, radio station bumper sticker, but, oh, hey, God forbid, excuse the pun, God forbid I display what I am.
Right.
I thought this was America. You know, if the guy had personally talked to me, I would have said, I'm sorry, you're right, this is Iran, I'll take it off right now.
Right.
Give me a break. Well, anyway, have a great rest of the show, and
thank
good
you,
luck.
Colin. All right, Brian, bye.
I think that call is exactly true.
That's
and
right.
That's the reason, though, we need people who are out in the front with the term atheist. I can see why people, well, take a politician.
Right.
There's never been an atheist politician, a known atheist, that's ever been elected to a job.
That we know of, yeah.
Or if you're a businessman or a physician, you can't be out there in the forefront for atheism if you have to depend upon the general public for your livelihood.
Right.
So that's the reason I'm a little more tolerant of people who call themselves agnostics, even though they're basically atheists.
That's right. We've had a couple of shows about that. But, yeah, you know, I had a similar experience as well. You know, someone pulled up behind me. He was actually a lieutenant in the Army National Guard. And I was in the Army National Guard at that time because I just got out of the regular Army. But anyway, and I was coming back from a movie theater, and this guy approaches me and starts balling his fist up and running. He almost ran into me wanting to fight me. We were chest to chest.
Yeah,
and he was about to pick up his fist and swing at me, and all these other people started surrounding us, and he kind of backed down because they all realized that he was wrong for that. I mean, why is this guy attacking me? And I asked him, I said, what are you so upset about? And he says, I'm upset over your stickers. I was like, what?
Well, there's a saying that hell hath no fury like a man whose God has been criticized.
Right, and the weird thing is, I asked him, I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, what is your belief system? Are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a, what did he say he was? He says, I'm a something else. I can't remember, but it wasn't even a Christian. I think he said he was like a Sikh or something. I can't remember the name. It's a very small minority religion. And I'm thinking, why are you jumping on my case if my stickers, the stickers at that time, pertained only to Christianity? And I thought that was really interesting that he jumped all over me about it. It just, and but somehow, something on my car, he didn't like it. He was afraid of it or something. And you're right, we got to get rid of that fear. And I think fear, for the most part, you would probably agree, is what keeps a lot of people in their faith.
Oh, yes. I think if you took the fear out of religion tonight, you wouldn't have many people in church tomorrow.
That's right. That's so true. I sometimes wonder, you know, with modern technology, you know, as you know, human beings are living longer and longer. You know, we're not too far around the corner when we'll be able to reset our telomeres and live for who knows how long, maybe at least three generations, if not longer. By the time that third generation comes along, though, we'll have technology that may be able to sustain us, you know, biomechanically, indefinitely. What are people to fear then? You know, it's just, you're right, it's the fear of the unknown. They're afraid of dying, of death. Most of us are, but they add more misery to their problems. Not only now do you have to worry about this life and the cessation of this life, now they have to worry about trying to get to some other life of which they have no knowledge of at all. The Bible doesn't even describe
it. No evidence
of. No evidence whatsoever. It's in a book. I
mean,
it's ridiculous.
If life is not fair, and I don't know anybody that thinks life is fair
right.
to people.
That's right.
Life is not fair. How in the, and God has not seen fit to make this short time on earth fair for all of us. Why in the world could anybody conceive that all of a sudden after we die, everything is going to be fair? The only way it's going to be fair is if when you're dead, you're dead.
That's right.
That's going to treat all of us exactly the same way.
That's an interesting point.
To conceive of a heaven or a hell after a short time on this earth is just, it just doesn't go through my computer.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit more about your book again. God.com. I'm sure, oh, by the way, as you know, and the listeners should know this too, don't pick up this. There's another book out there called God.com. That's at Barnes & Noble, written by a Frenchman.
Yeah.
And it's pro-Jesus stuff. So don't confuse our guest, Dr. John Henderson, with this guy.
That's sort of interesting because I was at another book signing. I was out in Las Vegas in a book signing, and a woman came up to me and said, "Oh, Dr. Henderson, I just love your books. I want to be sure and buy this one," which she did.
Oh, okay.
Had me mistaken for the other fellow who's written a God.com, which is pro-Jesus and pro-this. And I didn't tell her that I hadn't written any other books. This was the first one. But I wish I could see her face when she got home and started to read it.
Mm.
That would have been a kick.
So, again, let's talk about a deity for a new millennium. What exactly do you mean by a deity for a new millennium?
This all started, initially I was working under the title of Religions on Trial or God on Trial.
Right.
And it was an in-your-face, you got to be stupid to believe this baloney.
Okay.
Well, as a result of listening to some of my daughters and my wife and other people, they said, look, that's not going to do it. So then I thought, well, what can we make it so it might be a little more palatable? And I thought, well, since most people say they believe in God,
right,
then I have to assume that most people want a God.
Right.
And if they do, why not create a decent God? Why not create a kind and gentle and nurturing, caring God? And if so, that would probably be a feminine God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I came up with, okay, if you want a God, let's have a God.com who is a feminine God, who is nurturing and caring. The first thing she's going to do is get rid of Satan, and the next thing she's going to do is wipe out hell.
Right.
And then have a religion and only discusses the good effects and of religion. So it turned into a book that I hope is still the same idea. That
right.
It doesn't, all-knowing, all-powerful, supernatural being doesn't make sense. But hopefully it will appeal to people who are a little more liberal in their views and a little more able to think logically about this subject. It still won't appeal to the person that comes up and says, I know my God,
mm-hmm.
it's the only God there is.
Right.
I don't need to know about anybody else's.
Right. And the good thing is that even though fundamentalism is on the rise, but I'm hearing that liberal theology is on the rise too. It's funny, there was a poll given to me not too long ago, I believe it's posted on my website, in which there's quite a number of people who actually call themselves, Christian, Catholic, Muslim, etc., but they really don't even believe it.
Right.
They're atheists.
Right.
That's amazing. So the numbers aren't as big as Christians or other believers believe they are. That's
interesting. I went through this about the third. These are thoughts I've had ever since about the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through this, as many people do even today, and it's called Pascal's Wager.
Right.
And his thought was that it's better to believe or say you believe and be wrong than to not believe
and go to hell
and be right.
Right.
And in a sense, this is what many people do when they're in church. They really don't believe. For example, the Catholic Church. Not very many women believe that they shouldn't plan their families. They ought to crank out a baby every time they have sex.
Right.
But they still go to church, and they still go through the machinations of the church and take communion and whatever else they want to do, but they still sit there quietly and have their own beliefs. I call that cafeteria religion.
Mm.
And most people practice cafeteria religion in the sense that they just pick and choose what they feel comfortable with on their basic beliefs. If the church believes in hell, they may or may not believe in hell. If the church believes you're going to live forever, they may or may not believe they live forever.
That's true.
And speaking of hell, I read recently where the Anglican Church in England has discontinued the belief in hell.
Interesting.
And I've been told that several churches have done that.
Right.
That they no longer can believe in a God that would create an eternity of fire and damnation for somebody who may not have done what the local preacher thinks they should have done.
It's interesting. It kind of reminds me of John Shelby Spong's book, Why Christianity Must Change or Die.
Exactly.
It's kind of funny, though, because it's like, well, even if they do change, they'll die, too.
I always think of John Spong as he's an atheist that just doesn't want to come out of the closet.
Yeah.
Doesn't believe in the virgin birth. He doesn't believe in the resurrection. And he wonders if Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene.
And
nobody ever, I heard him speak not too long ago, and no one ever asked him whether he believed in life after death. He still wants to believe that Christ is saving everybody.
Right. There's not much left.
That's about the extent of his belief.
Right, but there's not much left once you get rid of all that other core stuff, though, is there?
There isn't much left, is there?
Not at all. Might as well stop playing around. Now, your other book that you said you're working on now, how far along are you in that?
Well, it's at the printers now, and I'm hoping it will be out in time for the winter solstice.
Okay, excellent. And what is this one called again, and what is this about?
It is Fear, Faith, Fact, Fantasy.
Okay.
And it goes the next step. God.com takes this step that if everybody wants a God, let's create a decent one.
Right.
Well, Fear, Faith, Fact, Fantasy points out, I hope, in a good way, that religion and morality have nothing in common.
Right.
That morality is established by mankind for men.
That's right.
And that the religion, as it comes down from those various gods, they don't cut the mustard.
Yeah. I ask people all the time, they say, well, I don't know what I would do without my religion. I don't know. I might become a killer and I go, wait a minute. What do you think? And they ask me, where do you get your morals from? And I say, the same place my ancestors got their morals from. It's like, do you really believe that your religion has been here for a million years? I don't think so. Long before religion came along, people had laws and morals and concepts of what right and wrong is. And they had those things because they're the ones that formed the religions. They have it backwards. They think somehow religion came first.
Every society has had rules of moral behavior. Such as do not steal, do not kill, do not lie, do not bear false witness. Those things predate Christianity by years and years.
Right. That's right.
And so the problem with the religion, the morals of religion, is that the religions and gods don't come up with one good moral code. They vary all over the map.
Right.
For example, if you look in the Bible, slavery was perfectly accepted.
Right.
The Bible and God never did come out against slavery.
Nope.
God and the Bible never did come out against the subjugation of women.
Nope.
And those immoral beliefs persist with religion. And until we can keep religion out of humankind's morality, we will be fighting and arguing and fighting wars over what God wants and when. I've often thought, you can be sure if there's a heaven, that they will allow no discussion of religion in heaven. Because it would just start arguments and fights.
It's funny you say that. You're right. That goes back to my idea of free will in heaven. I ask that question quite often of believers. Can you make volitional? Do you have volition in heaven? And they go, well, of course I can make decisions. Well, if you can make decisions, if you can choose one thing over something else, can't you not make a mistake? Well, yeah. Well, if you make mistakes, couldn't you sin? Well, I don't know. No sin will exist in heaven. Well, sin apparently was created in heaven. I mean, if Satan apparently sinned in heaven, and he was supposedly one of God's best angels, supposedly. So angels obviously must have free will. Many Christians don't even believe angels have free will, but for some reason, Satan gets by on that one. You're right. If heaven, there's no such thing. Even if heaven were to exist, it just couldn't be heaven if people are allowed to be themselves.
That's right.
And isn't that exactly what God? I mean, that's what they claim that they want. God wants them to do is to obey Him, but to still be their own volitional person. You just can't be that. I don't think if heaven really existed, you would be like the only way heaven could really exist. Work out, John, this is my theory, is if it was just like the Borg. That's the only way, just like the Borg from Star Trek. A whole bunch of androids running around, a collective consciousness, all doing what the hive mind, you know, it's like it's a hive mind, all doing what the collective wants each individual to do. In fact, there is no such thing as an individual. It's just...
Heaven can only exist in one person's mind. I heard
right.
some people talk about heaven, that they were going to be with their loved ones, and I said, okay... how old are your parents going to be in heaven?
Right.
Now,
right.
What if your parents' heaven, idea of heaven, and when they were happiest in their life
right.
was before you were born?
Ooh.
Now what happened?
Wow. I've never heard that one before.
You never get a good answer from that because
that's
everybody has their own concept of when they would be the happiest.
Right.
And that's how they create their heaven.
Right.
The situation where they were the happiest.
Yeah, and another one I use too, John, is like, well, what if there's a beautiful woman or male that, you know, you had a big crush on that you wanted to be with in heaven, but this person considered you a stalker.
Right. So it'd be her hell.
Right. It'd be her hell and mine. Because well,
heaven.
Right. Right.
I'd like this.
It's weird.
They've got 72 virgins at their beck and call now in heaven.
Right.
Well,
yeah, what about
that's the virgin's hell.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
I don't know what happens up there then. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
That's so interesting. Yeah, some rebuttals I get from that, though, is, well, God will make a way. And I go, well, if God makes a way, He has to change my mind. And if He changes my mind, I am not who I am anymore. I am something else. So what was all this about then? If I got to go through all this ritualism and rote and do all these various things to please God, but when I get to heaven... I, who I am, ceases to exist because He has to somehow allow me to be more tolerant or change me in some way so that I can be more accepting of people that I really don't even want to see. And there are so many Baptists that I've spoken to who they admit this in a second, that there are people that they hope, I mean, sitting right next to them in church, that they hope they do not see in heaven.
Right. Well, you know, I've got news for you that the Baptists up in heaven have a big fence around them. So they can't see out. Because they wouldn't be heaven for them if you or I were up there.
This will be another,
so they're going to be all just
yeah.
up to themselves.
We got another caller calling in. By the way, we're going to go, I think, 8 minutes over because we started a little late, okay? Is that okay with you, John?
Sure.
All right. You're live with the Infidel Guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Godless Bob again.
Hey, Bob.
And I'm calling you back, of course, in California. And I'm a teacher.
Okay.
And, you know, we're supposed to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, I don't make the children do that. I'm probably the only teacher in that old school that doesn't. Have you heard anything about what's going with that or that thing with Newdow?
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, they still have to... I know that's in the works. I know they're still going to... Actually, wait a minute. Last thing I heard... I'm confusing cases. I know that the Supreme Court refused to see the other issue...
I know a little about that, Reggie. The Supreme Court has agreed that they will take that on this year.
That's right.
It will come
right.
up to the Supreme Court whether the words under God
are unconstitutional,
are constitutional, right. or whether it needs to be the Pledge of Allegiance will be simply a Pledge of Allegiance to our country.
Yep.
Okay.
So I guess you guys will figure that out, find that out then.
Oh, yeah. I don't know when they'll come up with a ruling. They haven't had the hearings, but they
right.
have decided that they will hear it. So it will come up this year.
That's good. I hope something comes of that. Oh, one other thing. Out here in California, Southern California, I'm near in the Coachella Valley, you know, Southern California,
mm-hmm.
and we're kind of in the, I don't know, the Catholic Bible Belt down here with the Madonnas and all those things, the Guadalupe thing and all
right,
that.
Right.
Anyway, at our school we had a celebration at Christmas time where it was totally religious.
Hmm.
And I told the principal, and she knows that I am an atheist, and I told her, I said, that's wrong. I said, to have that, I said, you know, you can't do that. And I said, you know, I will go to the ACLU or whatever it takes, because this has at least got to, you just got to at least do a disclaimer on this. And other people had tried, but she did it. And last year when they had their little pageant, whatever it was, she sent out a disclaimer, you know, saying that all people may not believe this stuff, but so-and-so and so-and-so. So I thought that was kind of a victory there for me to be able to at least
awesome.
Get this thing squashed somewhat.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I mean, well, I think that's a victory,
coming up,
too.
Yeah,
and
you know,
I think,
this is how now they start, they don't even wait till Thanksgiving, now they start them.
Something like that.
They've already started them.
I think letters to the editor, when you see these things, and comments to other people that, look, this just isn't right. I think that has a lot of effect and makes people a lot more tolerant.
Definitely.
And I think we all should try to do that more.
That's right. If no one complains, no one knows. And a lot of people think that, oh, well, they just wouldn't care. They just assume that nothing can be done. It's amazing, right, what one voice can do to someone. Because who knows, that person you talk to might just be thinking that, well, you know, maybe that's not a good idea. But everyone else is pushing me to do it, so maybe I should do it. So, right, so if someone, like a voice like yours, Bob, if you, I like that. You know, you come out and you say something to them, you never know what response you'll get. And, you know, more people need to do that. We have a case here in Georgia recently. I forgot what county, but I know they voted to put the Ten Commandments on government property. And that really bothers me. I'm like, who was there? I felt bad. I felt like I didn't do something. I felt like I should have driven down there and had my say. But I didn't live there, so I guess it wouldn't matter. But you know, it's just, you know, you never really know.
But you may notice that Larry Darby there in Alabama is really working on that problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another thing, you know, most of the classrooms that I've been in, they have they put up the In God We Trust under the national, our new national motto. Not in my room. I have the old one, E Pluribus Unum, under mine. And I won't put that in In God We Trust. And like I said, you know, I'm the only one that the kids do not, they do not have to say the pledge. I let them, I just tell them, I'm a veteran myself, so, you know, it's not that I'm unpatriotic.
Right.
But I really object to that under God stuff.
How does your students take that?
Actually, they like it. Nobody does the pledge.
Wow. See what I mean? See, that, you know, Bob, that just proves it right there, that the only reason why students are doing this is because they're being coerced by the teachers
and their
to
parents.
Do it.
Okay, and the, another thing. I did a survey last year with my fifth grade class, and I simply asked them, I said, do you think that people who don't believe in gods or things like this or pray are bad people? And the majority of the kids said either no, they didn't think they were, or it's their business. Very
See?
Few of them said,
right.
You know, they're burning and going someplace.
That's right. See, because they're being taught that crap,
That's
you know?
Right.
That's horrible.
And, you know, the kids all wear these crosses, and, I'm not going to go out and try. I can't change that. You know, that's the way it is. But it just makes me irritated that, you know, they're doing the same tactics that Hitler used. You know, if you can brainwash the children, you can keep that, perpetuate that system. It just goes and goes and goes and never stops.
That's right.
And anyway, I'm doing my little...
realize over the generations that if you... teach a child, well, I think the first 5 or 6 years, you've got them for life.
That's right.
That's true. I'm sorry to say that's true with a large number of people. If you can get them afraid of God in their early childhood, some of them will never get over that fear.
Exactly. It took me a long time. You know, when I finally, well, I was a teenager, and I always had questions. Like one time I had a puppy. And it died, and I couldn't figure, why would a loving God take my puppy? Why couldn't it make its own? You know, why couldn't he make his own puppy if he wanted? But why did he have to take mine? You know, and I started thinking about that.
That's
you know,
right. So. You know, and I'm still afraid of the gingerbread man till this day, so I know.
But, you know, it's pretty effective with that brainwashing. And, you know, when you first get away from this religiosity stuff, it you know, it's kind of scary because, you know, you're so brainwashed in it. It's hard to get away from it, because that's exactly what they want. They want you to be totally brainwashed and not be able to start thinking.
That's right. So,
and, we're dangerous because we think.
Indeed.
So, you know, anyway, I'm doing my part here, and the kids, they pretty well know. Like, they used to do the sneezing and the bless you, and I got that stopped. I said, what are you, all priests or something? I get so sick of that. Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Like, right. Are you afraid demons are going to leap out in your body or something? What's the deal
with that?
Well,
you know, that breath is supposed to be coming out. The devil's supposed to be sucking the breath. I guess that's where that came from.
Right, right.
I think that's very difficult for you as a school teacher, and I respect you and admire you. I don't know whether I'd have the courage to do it, because you know you're going to have some parents
That's
on
right.
your back
That's right.
calling you a dirty atheist, immoral atheist, and I don't want my children being taught by that immoral atheist.
Well, you know, I thought about that, but I'm 3 years away from retirement, so to me it doesn't even matter anymore.
Wow.
Well, that's exactly why I wrote my book.
Yeah, you know, so...
I've already retired. My kids are grown and out of the house, and I'm financially, I don't have to depend upon the public, and so I thought, well, now's a good time to write a book like this.
Indeed.
But unlike my other side, the other half, I do not preach to the children that they should not believe.
Right.
I really don't, you know, that's not my business.
Right, you just don't bring it up.
Yeah, and, I don't bring it up.
That's right.
Unless it's, you know, it's in front of me or something.
Of course,
I make subtle little comments like, you know, are you a priest? Or there's a Spanish word, I think it sounds something like salute, so I just salute like a military salute.
That's right. That's
and,
funny.
Gesundheit, I don't say that because that's another form of
God.
Jew.
Yeah, that sure is.
I found that out.
That's right.
So anyway, I have my American Atheist. I belong to them, even though they're kind of not really what I want, but I have their little emblem hanging from my window, and it's always there for everybody to look at. People ask me what it means. I said it means science. It stands for science and reason.
Indeed. Well, all right. Thanks very much, Bob.
Okay. All right.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
All right. Well, this is the end of the show here. Go ahead and give out your information again, John.
Well, if anybody is interested in getting an autographed book from the author, me, they can email me at jrh828@webtv.net. Or they can write me at Dr. John Henderson, 117 Rath Farnham. That's one word, RATHFARNHAM Circle. That's Asheville, North Carolina, 28803. And this particular book is softback, and it's only $10, $2 shipping and handling. The next book, Fear, Faith, Fact, Fantasy, is hardback, and that book will retail at $19.95.
All right.
If anybody's interested, I'd be happy to hear from them, and I'd be happy to send them an autographed copy.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks again. John, I really appreciate it. I had a great time. And you shoot me that same information in an email, please, and I'll post it on my website as well.
All right. Thank you, Reggie. I enjoyed being with you.
You as well. Good night. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was another episode of Live with the Infidel Guy. I'll see you guys another time. Thanks for listening. In Reason.
Of over 1 million records sold, the Christian recording industry is pleased to present you with this Myrrh album.
Thank you, Reggie. Myrrh album? I thought albums went either gold or platinum.
No, no, in Christian rock, our albums go gold, then frankincense and myrrh. Congratulations!
Ha! Our bet was that you would get a platinum album, not a myrrh album. I don't owe you anything, fat boy. Do you mean to tell me I can never get a platinum album with a Christian rock band?
No, but you can go double myrrh.
God! Damn it!
Oh, please don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Who cares? I can never win my bet because you stupid assholes don't give out platinum albums!
But you spread the word of the Lord. You brought faith in Jesus.
Oh, fuck Jesus!
Ah! Eric, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't say that word about Jesus.
Yeah, you're gonna hurt the band.
Who fucking cares, Token?